Our gospel reading this morning comes from John, chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. And Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's good to be alive and to be among the people of God in this time and this place. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Well, let's see how many pilots there are in the room. How many of you can tell me or raise your hand if you know Evelyn Johnson? Good. Sometimes a visit to the ophthalmologist brings you good things, like finding an old pilot's book magazine and reading a story about Evelyn Johnson. Let me tell you a bit about her. She died in 2012 at 101. She got her pilot's license in 1944. She was bored with her job at a dry cleaning business and tried it out for something to do. She went on and got her commercial pilot's license, her instrument instructor's license, and finally became a certified Federal Aviation Administration flight examiner. In 1979, she was the Flight Instructor of the Year. And she was a pilot for 55 years. And she trained and tested over 9,000 pilots. And that gave her the nickname Mama Bird Johnson. She didn't quit flying until she was 99, and that was because it had become a little too hard for her to fly after she was in an accident at 96. When she died, she had 57,635 hours of flying time. That's nearly 7 years in the air, the most hours of any living female pilot. And there is only one male pilot who has more hours than Evelyn Johnson. She's in the National Aviation Hall of Fame for some reason. She was also a member of the Whirly Girls, the first five women who trained to fly helicopters. And then she just, natural progression, went on to become a flight instructor in helicopters and received an award from the FAA when she was at an airport and a helicopter crashed. The engine was still running with the blades whirling around, and she crawled under the blades, turned the engine off, found the fire extinguisher, and sprayed the helicopter so they could pull the helicopter out. Well, there are lots of stories about her But you're going to get a few, and it does have something to do with the scripture for those who are wondering. Just a couple to start out. One is, after she died, somebody wrote in that little place where you can write for obituaries for her, that my son knew Evelyn. He was in a class for people who weren't quite doing well in school, but it involved learning about flying. And part of the class was that you did some of the ground school on the computer and could practice a little bit of that flying. And if you did well with the math and the English that went with that, you got to go on a flight. And my son got to go to the airport to fly with Evelyn Johnson. And she took the airplane out to where it would take off on the runway. And she talked to my son, "What have you learned? What have you done?" She said, "Okay." Crossed her arms and said, "It's time for you to fly." And my son, who thought all he would get to do was touch the controls, got to take off and fly the plane. Landing, in case you don't know, is the hardest part of flying. There's a saying, a friend of mine is a pilot, that he said that all pilots learn right away, any landing you walk away from is a good landing. The other story that caught my eye goes like this. She was training a man to fly who happened to be a United States senator and was a bit full of himself. She was giving him the first test for his private pilot's license. And Evelyn said they came to what's called the stall series. And in a stall, the airplane is in a particular attitude or position and or has lost power. And so that basically it stops flying and becomes a rock and sets off straight for the ground as fast as it can. The senator said, "The particular plane we're in is not designed to stall at all." Johnson said, "Well, that may be so, but if you don't do the stalls, you won't get a license." So the senator did them. And the lesson was, if you don't practice pulling out of failure, you don't know how to fly. Well, you and I are part of what is sometimes called the Mother Church. Thousands of children of God who seek to love God and neighbor because of what Jesus taught them. And our reading this morning, Jesus talks with his disciples about what he has taught them as if they were his children. But what does he call them now? Not children, but friends. "I do not call you servants any longer, but because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." But he did call them children earlier. Our scripture is part of John's retelling of the Last Supper of Jesus with the disciples, and it records the longest sermon. It's much longer than any you've ever heard. I mean long sermon. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And it starts out with Jesus washing the disciples' feet and telling that if Jesus is indeed their teacher with a capital T, then they might follow his lead and serve one another in the same way he has served them as servants. And a little later in the sermon, he calls them little children when he gives them the great commandment to love one another, just as he has loved them, and that their love for one another is the sign by which people will know they are disciples. Children, little children, servants, friends, a progression. Well, to learn to fly, there are many steps. There's the ground school, of course, where you learn the basic concepts of flying. You also learn in ground school that you will always need to study more and more and more, and you will always have to practice, and you will always need to have someone teach you new things. You need an instructor, a mentor, a friend who already knows a great deal about flying and is experienced at it. And at some point, your instructor will say, "You are ready. fly on your own without me. Evelyn Johnson recalled a young man she was training to fly, and he was bragging around the town that he didn't need any little old lady to teach him how to fly. He was quite good at it, thank you. So when he showed up for his next lesson, she said, "You're going to fly today on your own," and got out of the plane and walked away. She looked back. He wasn't in the pilot's seat. She kept looking. She couldn't even see him anywhere. So she walked back to the airplane and found him on the other side, trembling with real fear. All he could do was mutter, "Mrs. Johnson, I can't do it without you." Later on, he would fly on his own, but it wasn't that day. And so the point is, you can learn a great deal about flying, but you can't really learn to fly until you fly. Somebody moved the pages around in my sermon, and it was me. Okay. So in this one long sermon, Jesus moves from calling his followers children, servants, and now friends. His ministry was something like 3 years of ground school for his followers. And now he repeats the commandment he gave them at the beginning when he called them children. "This is the commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends," a word which means "my equals, if you do what I command you." Big if. Go ahead. Actually love God and neighbor the way I've taught you, like I'm loving you right now, like you've seen me love the people I've healed, how you've seen me deal with my enemies. And he promises he'll be there in the loving of God and neighbor with us. We hear that phrase, somebody's going to say, "Well, Jerry's saying that Jesus is our co-pilot." We never fly solo, because we fly surrounded by the grace of God given to us in the community of faith and by the Holy Spirit that flies with us. Jesus taught them to love God and neighbor in all they did, and he refuses to stop loving them and his enemies, even though in his case, it means facing death. And the writer of John, putting these words down 60 years after Jesus, is reflecting on the meaning of Jesus' death for himself and the congregation of followers that he writes for. You and I all know stories of people who in some way put their lives on the line for others. And John's point is that Jesus' love put his life on the line for everyone, servant, child, friend, enemy. And fulfilling that commandment is what the community he is writing for is called to do. It's their vocation. It is who they are called to be. It's how they're called to fly. Henry Nouwen once said, The mystery of ministry is that we have been chosen to make our own limited and very conditional love the gateway for the unlimited and the unconditional love of God. So just like flight training, there's a progression. Some of us may know the first rule of being a Methodist. John Wesley said it, so I'm not making this up. It's the same one doctors have. First, do no harm. Got that? I want to hear it out there. First, do no harm. Okay, now you're all real Methodists. So first of all, we practice and reflect on what it means to do no harm. You can hear the words, but until you do it, it's hard to figure out what it means and how much trouble it can get you into. So you move through different steps, like do no harm means not harming your friends and the people you have affection for. And then you practice doing no harm to your friends when they really ticked you off or harmed you. And then you move up an even harder step that most of us skip, but don't skip it. You practice doing no harm to yourself when you're really ticked off at the person in the mirror. And then maybe you're ready to tackle doing no harm to those who actually actively hate you. Perhaps you can then move to that place where Jesus calls us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. John Wesley used a peculiar phrase when he described Methodists. He said, Methodists are a people going on toward perfection. In our society, we like to hear, Methodists are people who have reached perfection. That's not what he said. We are people who are going on toward. And by that, John Wesley didn't mean getting some form of doctrine straight or even never breaking any of his many rules. What he meant by perfection would be that each and every thought would be motivated solely by the love of Christ. And he meant the same for our actions, going on toward. Remember the pilot who didn't want to practice recovering from stalling out. Evelyn Johnson knew that at least until he learned how to recover from failure, he would not be qualified to fly. So it's important that we recognize we will have failures, and those that we're seeking to be in community with, be friends with, will also have failures, unless we recognize that we are upheld by God's love and grace, just as an airplane is surrounded by air, we might be tempted to give up. I told you earlier I'm a fan of Mark Twain. That's one of his short phrases I've always loved. He said, experience is the best teacher. Child that takes the cat home by the tail is getting information that'll never grow dim, nor weary, nor useless. But if the child wants to carry the cat home by the tail, I say let them. It's not always easy to be different. Many people in our society have a very different perception of the church than that group of people which are trying to make our own unlimited and very conditional love the gateway to unlimited and unconditional love of God. I know it's old, but I haven't found a new one, well, in time for the sermon. A 2000 study by the Barna Group asked people what words and phrases best describe Christianity in the United States. And the top response among Americans between 16 and 29 was, do you know what it was? Anti-homosexual. And for a staggering 91% of Christians, that was the first word that came to mind when people asked them about the Christian faith. And the same was true for 80% of those young churchgoers. And the next most common images they had was judgmental and hypocritical. In the book of Acts, the Christians are known as those who look at how they love one another. So our image, and I like to think Campbell is a congregation that counters that image quite a bit by what little I've seen. Like the folk hymn, they'll know we are Christians by our love, is the one that we seek to be known by. The angels of our better nature cry out for a people in a church who model life that way, who've learned that kind of way to fly as human beings. Last week we heard from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, where he pointed out in the 12th chapter, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of others, extend hospitality to strangers. Those are good flight school instructions. But we won't know what he means until we try them out in a context of a beloved and supportive community. That's what church is about. Please pray with me. Gracious, compassionate, challenging God, rooted and grounded in Christ, may we bear the fruits of love that heal, bring compassion and justice to a broken and bruised world. May the congregation that is Campbell United Methodist Church continue to refine and live out John Wesley's call to go toward perfection in love. May people say of us, see how they love one another. See how they bring healing to our community friends. Amen.